Our guest on the InterVarsity podcast on this Valentine's Day 2008 is Mindy Meyer, who's the author of an InterVarsity Press book called Sex and Dating, Questions You Wish You Had Answers To. This is a fairly new book, so I guess my first question is, what's been the response so far?
Very good. It's a lot of people have been buying the book and saying that they appreciate the Q&A format, especially. People are busy, and so they can scroll down and look at the questions and skip over ones that don't relate to them and then really take the time to read the ones that do. So I think people have found the book really accessible, refreshing, and they like the Q&A format.
Was it easier to do a book in a Q&A format, do you think?
Well, it was for me, definitely, yeah. This is my first book, and I think just having it in bite-sized things that hang together was easier, you know, to just have it in focusing on one thing, then you don't have, you know, you're not getting lost with trying to a great big picture, you know.
So where did this book come from?
Well, the book really grew out of 20 years of having appointments with students, of sitting in coffee shops, talking to people about relationships, about sexuality, and I just found that over the years, many of the same questions would come up again and again, and a lot of people either don't have a person they can turn to talk to things like this with, or maybe they don't feel comfortable. So this, it just seemed like it made sense because, like I said, these same questions surfaced in coffee shop appointments, and also if you ever do a panel on sex and dating and you give people 3x5 cards and have them turn in the cards, it's interesting how you notice after a while that a lot of the same questions keep resurfacing. So I thought, you know, I've learned a few things. I've been around the block a few times, and I should just jot these down and help get this information into the hands of people.
So the questions today are about the same as they were 20 years ago?
Yes and no. I mean, they deal, like, for example, jealousy is an issue that's always been, the same yesterday and many years ago. It's just that now someone's jealous because their boyfriend is posted, you know, shirtless with some other woman on MySpace. So it's just, it's different a format, but the fundamental issues are a lot alike. But there are other issues. For example, internet dating. I mean, no one was meeting marriage partners on the internet 20 years ago, and so that presents new issues.
What are the issues with internet dating?
Well, I mean, I think the internet, I mean, gosh, we do so many things on the internet. You know, you shop, you pay bills, you do so many things. So the internet is sort of a reality. I think that the two problems are if you meet someone on the internet and you get together, and of course there's a lot of precautions. I advise in my book that you go to a public place and don't rely on this person for your ride home. Make sure you have your own means of transportation until you get to know them and trust them. But what happens sometimes if you meet someone on the internet, you know, you have this amazing compatibility because you've been matched by a computer. So you could have this sense of trusting in some compatibility. And so then you may think it's going to be really easy, whereas the truth is no relationship is easy. Any relationship takes a lot of work. It's always, you know, merging two personalities, and it's challenging. So you could be deceived into thinking, oh, my gosh, we're so compatible. This is going to be a walk in the park. This is going to be so easy. But then I think the other thing that can happen is if, let's say, you meet someone on the internet, you're amazed at your compatibility, and then you get married and you start having problems. And then you think, oh, we're having problems because we met on the internet. It's such a flawed way to meet people. It's not real. And I think that's another myth, because the truth is any two people that try to put together a relationship are going to run into some bumps in the road. And I think you could just be slightly deceived by the means, the internet it being the means, whereas the truth is getting married is sort of like being given a blob of clay. You've got to forge something and make something out of that. And I think that's what a lot of people aren't prepared for. They think if I just meet this perfect match, much of the work will be done for me.
Some things are easier and some things are harder, I suppose, or some things never change. But at least with the internet, like on Facebook, you can see right away whether somebody's in a relationship or not.
That's right. That's right. You can. Although you always wonder how honest people are, too. That's another concern is, you know, people can self-report information that may or may not be true. So that's another caution. But it is true. For example, you could spend months dating someone and never find out that one of the people never wants to have children and the other one really wants to have children very badly. I mean, the thing about the internet is that would figure that out real quickly. So there's, you know, if there's a deal breaker like that, the internet is going to find that quickly. and, you know, toss you two out as a combination, whereas you could date someone a long time and then find out, gee, you know, we're down the road 3 or 4 months and we run into this deal breaker, you know?
Well, college students are obviously interested in relationships. Does that mean Valentine's Day is a big day on the campus calendar?
Well, you know, I can't speak to every campus, but I've spent most of my life at the University of Illinois, and in some ways it's a big day if you are in a relationship, but then if you're not, I mean, there's a lot of pretty funny things that go on. I mean, a lot of people dress in black and go to the bars, and there's a lot of sort of counter Valentine's Day activity that goes on actually on campuses where people are a little bit cynical, or instead of just being home and thinking, oh, poor me, I'm not in a relationship, like they want to go out and kind of, you know, just kick back and do something fun and crazy and just say, hey, I don't need to live with this Hallmark, you know, card Valentine's Day thing, you know, shoved down my throat. I can do something else. I can go out with my friends dressed in black and kind of spoof the whole thing.
So they decide to deal with it in some way or another.
Right. There's usually a response, but it's not necessarily the traditional way that Hallmark might portray it to you, especially on a college campus. I think there's some you know, counter ways of dealing with it that are almost poking fun at Valentine's Day a little bit.
In your experience in campus ministry with InterVarsity, has Valentine's Day been an opportunity for ministry that works well with college students?
It does, I think. I mean, usually around that time, it is a very typical time. If you're ever going to have a talk on sex and dating or on relationships, I mean, it's certainly an appropriate time to do that, and so I think a lot of times people will book a speaker or have a, you know, some kind of program set up to address some of those issues because people are thinking about that. It's, you know, part of what they're thinking about this time of year.
And in the life of a InterVarsity chapter, is dealing with sex and dating a priority issue?
Oh, I think it is. I mean, when you think about what do students really care about, what are they thinking about, I mean, sex and dating rank way up there. I mean, of course they're concerned about their major and friendships and relationship to parents, but sex and dating is of great concern to college students. And I think there are so many voices out there. There's TV shows, there's media, there's movie stars, there's friends that they hear talking, you know, in their dorms and fraternities and sororities. And there are so many voices that are not Christian voices that they need at least to hear a Christian voice and a positive presentation of sexuality from God's point of view. So definitely, I would say, if I were helping students, which I have many years, you know, putting together programs, it's like pretty much every year you need to hit this topic.
And what are the main points that you try to make?
Well, I think the first point I always try to make is the fact that, you know, God is our designer. God made us. We are, you know, made by God, and he made us as sexual beings, that sex is a wonderful gift that God gave to human beings, and you want to cast it for them to be captured by the beauty of sexuality and understand a little bit more deeply what it's all about. It is pleasure, but it's a lot more than pleasure. You know, there's bonding that goes on when two people unite sexually. There's wordless communication. There's, you know, just so many things that happen, and as they get a more full-orbed understanding, then that begins to inform them on the question of how far can I go Saturday night with my person I'm dating. You know, so many times students want to start there. How far can I go Saturday night? You know, I'm dating this person. How far can I go? They want to go there, but you can't answer that question until you start with being informed by what is the purpose of sex? What has God said about that? Why would God set up these boundaries? You know, it's for our good, for our protection. He wants to not spoil our fun, but rather save us from pain. And I think the more that people have a deeper understanding of the power of sexuality and the purpose of sexuality, they'll realize it's much like fire. You know, fire is a very good and positive thing if it's in the fireplace or if you're cooking dinner or whatever. It's great. It's a good force. On the other hand, fire is very destructive if it's burning your drapes up or your car. And so in the same way, sexuality is very, very powerful to be either good and life-giving or to be very damaging, very hurtful to people. And so I think that's kind of, you know, what we want people to understand is it's fundamentally a good gift given to us by God, but in his wisdom, he set some boundaries to protect something of great value.
College students get a lot of messages about sexuality, and they live in a very media-oriented world. Is it difficult to give them God's version of sexuality?
Well, I think it is. And you couple that with the fact that, you know, most people have a sexual awakening like when they're maybe 13 or something, but yet many people don't get married until they're even into their 30s. I'm living in Chicago now, and a lot of young professionals get married in their 30s, and so they've got 20 years of where they're trying to keep a lid on their sexual desires, and they're doing that in a society that is sexually charged. There's, you know, so many things. My gosh, you go to the grocery store to buy fresh vegetables, and as you're checking out, there's these magazines, you know, that are flaunting this at you, and so it's very challenging, I think, to really live a countercultural view of sexuality and really uphold God's standards. And so I think it is challenging, and yet in some ways it makes sense when you present that to people. They know from their own experience many times that it is difficult to unite with multiple partners and then break up and go your own way, that you are in a sense giving away something irretrievable, that you are bonding with them, and that then there is damage and separating. So I think it is challenging, but yet I think in some ways people are hungry to hear another voice. Somehow they know that the voice that says, oh, just, you know, go out and have friends with benefits and hook up and, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, don't let your heart get involved. This is just a physical thing. It's just for pleasure. Like, somehow they know that that's not really true, that we can't, you know, segment our body and mind and soul into different parts and just sort of numb out in our soul and disconnect that from sexual pleasure. I think they somehow know that that can't really be done. So in some ways, it's hard, but it's also freeing to feel like there are people out there who are deciding to choose to be chaste and to be pure and to save themselves for marriage.
I imagine a lot of them, if they haven't been in a broken family themselves, they have friends who have had their parents split up, so they realize that sex can go wrong.
Right, and when there's divorce, sex can go wrong, but also probably the relationship went wrong. You know, when you have a divorce, probably a whole lot more than sex went wrong in that relationship if they ended up divorced. And so they are cautious. They're cautious. They've seen the heartache, and they don't want to make the same mistakes their parents made in many cases.
As you talk about your book, what are the most important issues, most important points that you want to make?
Well, you know, I can read you some of the questions that I have here. That are in the book, and I mean, I think there's just so many different ones. I mean, you know, here's one is, if I've been sexually abused, can I still have a good sex life in marriage? You know, that's a great question to be asking. And then, you know, can we back up on our sexual relationship if we've gone too far? What if the person I'm dating wants me to set the boundaries? Is that okay? Another one in the dating section is, how do I know if I should marry the person I'm dating? I think that's a huge question. Actually, that's probably the question that I think comes up the most often is, okay, I'm in this relationship, I'm dating this person, how do I know if this has the stuff for marriage? Like, what are the things I should be looking for to know if this person is marriage, you know, material for me, or if we have the stuff that it takes to have a marriage? Those are some of the questions that I'm just looking at the index that are of interest to people.
And what are the best clues that someone you're dating is marriageable?
Well, of course, it's hard to give you an answer because there's several pages here. But, you know, there's things that you want to ask yourself, like, you know, do I feel free to be who I truly authentically am, or am I kind of trying to remake my personality to fit and be this someone this other person wants me to be? That can last for only so long. You know, if you're outspoken and opinionated, you can only pretend to be shy and quiet for so long. So one thing is you should definitely feel very free to be who you truly are, and you should bring out the best in each other. Really, your schoolwork and your professional work and other things should be better as a result of the relationship. You know, you might early in the relationship be slightly set off your axis when you're, you know, feeling really head over heels in love, but a healthy relationship means that you're flourishing in other pursuits outside of the relationship. I always tell people to check in with friends, family, parents, you know, Christian workers, pastors, and say, hey, are we good for each other? You know, do you think we have what it takes to have a good relationship? What are some concerns you see that you would want us to address? That can be very scary to invite input, but yet the truth is many times our friends see things that we don't see. We're just so in the relationship, we're pretty blind. So, and then, you know, another one is go visit each other's families. You don't marry an individual. You marry a family. You marry a clan, and you have to go visit your person that you're dating, their family, and look around the room and say, could I spend 50% of my Christmases with these people? Like I said, you marry a family. You don't marry just an individual. So these are a few of the ideas. I mean, again, the answer is longer in the book. It's hard to give you a thumbnail sketch.
Well, that sounds like some great advice. Well, you have a new book on sex and dating just published by InterVarsity Press, and it's Valentine's Day. Is this a busy time of the year for you?
Actually, it is. I just did a radio interview yesterday with a station in Atlanta, and I've got another one coming up. And so this is a busy time because of this book. So, yeah, you're right on target for being well-timed.
Okay, and the book is doing well.
The book is doing well. Mm-hmm. Thank you.